Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we come today to your house because we love you. God, we come with hunger and expectation in our heart. And Lord, we believe that every time we show up, you show up to meet us here. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak loud and clear to our hearts. Lord, we pray that revelation would be released today, that you would help us move further and move closer to you today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. Amen. Amen. All right. For the next few minutes, I want to actually speak to you about basically an essential yet often overlooked part of prayer, and that is this, of silence and solitude. So I want to begin by reading a familiar passage of Scripture out of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. It simply reads like this, starting in verse 9. It says, "And there Elijah went into a cave and spent the night in the place." It says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.'" In verse 11, things shift. It says, "Then God said to him, 'Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice," or what it actually means in the original language, it means a delicate, gentle, whispering voice. And said, "So it was when Elijah heard that still small voice that he wrapped his face in his mantle," or he took his cloak and pulled it over his head. And it says that he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Man, isn't that an awesome portion of Scripture? Listen, in light of that, I want to tell you something. In August 2021, there were eight of us here from the church that went on a WLI. That stands for Wilderness Leadership Intensive. We went on that with Mountain Gateway. And so for 10 days, we hiked and camped in the backcountry in the Wind River Range, which is part of the Rocky Mountains. And what I want to do real quick is I want to show you a few pictures because I want to make a point here. So this is kind of the first one. That's kind of like all of us that went. Next picture, it's kind of blurry, so this is kind of us. You see Chris, Tommy, Kurt, me, that's a dive coach from Missouri, and then you see Garrett on the end. Go ahead and go to the next one, and just kind of flip through them. Man, isn't that beautiful? And all I can say is, like, one word that I would describe, man, is just, like, majestic, right? Like, it's absolutely beautiful. Now, as amazing, what I really want to say, as amazing as the scenery was and as amazing as the bond that we formed together there as a group and all the funny stories that, you know, we came home with, probably my favorite part of the entire trip was what Mountain Gateway refers to as a sit spot. And that means this, that every morning from 6 to 7 o'clock, we were told to go find a spot and sit for no other reason than to pray and to be with Jesus in silence and solitude. In fact, this next picture we want to show is probably one of my favorite picture from the entire trip. Yeah, I love that picture. So that's Steve Longfellow. Steve's right there in the middle. So that's Steve basically praying in his sit spot at Shannon's Pass. We're about 12,000 feet in elevation. So you can imagine the incredible view that Steve had that morning as he sat and he prayed. Right? Now here's what's wild. The main reason why I appreciate the sit spot so much is because I'm similar to a lot of you. And what I mean by that is this, is I wake up every morning, and before my feet hit the ground, my mind is quickly consumed with all the things that I got to get done for the day, right? And it keeps running all day long until I fall asleep at night, and then I wake up, and it repeats itself, and then again and again and again. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Yeah, a few of us, right? Now, the funny thing is that despite living like that for years, when we arrived at the WLI, I didn't even realize how much I needed a sit spot. But that quickly changed when I read what one of our instructors wrote in this little notebook right here that they gave us when we arrived. And what I mean, just kind of give you a little context, is every instructor, I think they took three students and they basically went and prayed and said, Lord, what do you want to say to them? And then they wrote it in the front page. And so I was told basically, hey, open up, read a message. And so here was the message that was written to me in this little notebook. It simply said this, it says, PQ, you have become the tip of the spear as Jesus takes new territory. You have taken great risk with great faith. And it says this, your eyes are weary with study. Your feet are tired from all your going and your hands are weak from all your helping. Over the next few days, cultivate a rhythm of rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We know it's Matthew 11:28. Then he said this, listen to these words. Rest is an elusive discipline discovered only in reckless abandonment of our own abilities. I'm going to say that again. Rest is an elusive discipline discovered only in reckless abandonment of our own abilities. Then he finished, my prayer for you is a fresh awakening of rest. Slow down and listen for the whisper of heaven. Love you, Dusty. Y'all, when I read those words, man, I knew that wasn't, you know, just Pastor Dusty speaking to me. In fact, I didn't really know Dusty at that time. When I read that, I knew 100% in here, man, that is God talking, right? Like God knew how I was feeling on the inside. He knew that I was tired. And what he was doing is he was inviting me into the wilderness, not to look for him in a whirlwind, not in an earthquake, not in a great fire on the side of that mountain, right? He was encouraging me to come like Elijah and to listen for that delicate, gentle whisper, right, of his voice. Like I knew he was inviting me to just simply come and be with him in silence and solitude. So what happened was, kind of give you an idea for the rest of the trip, in my sit spot from 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning, man, I rediscovered the joy of what it means just to be with Jesus, right? Without a prayer list, without an agenda, without a spiritual fight to fight, right, or somewhere to run off to next, man, I simply found a beautiful spot, sat down, and I breathed, and I said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I wrote down the things that I heard, that still soft voice speak to me, that still soft voice whisper to my heart. Man, all I can say is this, is for those next few days, man, it was refreshing, right? Now, in hindsight, there are two big takeaways that I think I learned through that experience. And the first one is this. It's that the practice of silence and solitude is a spiritual discipline, dare I say, a gift from heaven. Right, and we know this is true because, of how many examples we find in the scripture of where people encounter God in sit spot-like situations. You know, my mind goes to this, just to give you some quickly. I think about how Abraham, when he sat under the mulberry tree, God visited him. I think about him going out in that clear, open night, basically looking up at the stars, and God began to speak to him concerning his destiny. I think about Hagar, when she sat and she began to weep because her heart was broken, and God came and comforted her. I think about the night that Jacob laid his head on a rock. I guess he didn't have pillows yet, but he laid his head on a rock and he began to see angels ascending and descending from heaven, right? I think about the time that he was alone and he wrestled with God, or when Joshua would linger at the tent of meetings, or even this, fast forward to the New Testament of how Nathaniel's journey with Jesus began as he sat under a tree, or how Mary sat at Jesus's feet. And so even more than those examples, here's what I think about. It's how Jesus began his ministry after basically 40 days of solitude. Or before he chose his 12 disciples, how he went and he spent the night alone in prayer. Or when John the Baptist died, how he went to a lonely place to be with his father. Or after the feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the leper, he went to, the Bible says, a secluded place to pray. And lastly, and even in the season that we're entering into, I think about the night before he was crucified, man, he sought a solitude place in the Garden of Gethsemane. See, my point is this, is that I've learned that if silence and solitude was a regular practice for the saints of old and even Jesus himself, then it probably should be for us as well. And the second big takeaway that I got was this, is that even though the practice of silence and solitude is a spiritual discipline that all of us should practice, very few of us actually do it. Right? But the question is why? So please hear my heart for a second. Like, why do you and I not practice solitude and silence the way God wants us to? I think it boils down to a handful of reasons. The first one's kind of a give me, but it's simply this. It's because you and I are way too busy. Like, we talked about this years ago, and even though we talked about it years ago, I don't think anything's changed, right? Like we're all too busy. You know, even this, if you've maybe read it before, years ago, John Ortberg, he asked Dallas Willard, he asked this question. Y'all, please listen to this. He says, what do I need to do to be spiritually healthy? Great question. What do I need to do to be spiritually healthy? To that question, Dallas Willard, that old sage, he said this. He said, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. I don't know about you, but if somebody would have asked me that question, that's not how I would have answered it, right? But what's so funny is even if you look, there's a, you know, just in studying, I found there's this college professor. He did basically a five-year study of 20,000 Christians, 20,000 Christians. And after 5 years of research, he determined that the number one distraction from a Christian's life with God is, you guessed it, busyness. Right, and then the man concluded, you know, in his research by pointing out why you and I being so busy is so dangerous. Here's what he said. He stated that when we live overly busy lives, God becomes marginalized, right? Which causes our relationship with him to deteriorate, which causes us to be more susceptible to the thoughts and the opinions of the culture around us, which leads us to more conformity to a culture of busyness. And what he said was, and then the cycle repeats itself again, meaning that we even become more overly busy, Jesus becomes more marginalized, our relationship becomes more deteriorated, which causes us to embrace the culture more. And what he was really getting at, he was saying this, is that there's this downward spiral where you and I find ourselves drifting further and further away from God because we're busy. Now, if I could put it in other words, I believe that when you and I don't pause long enough to spend meaningful time with Jesus, what happens is we inevitably settle for being good people rather than being the godly people that we've been called to be. Right? It's like we don't end up being necessarily bad or immoral people, but we're just distracted, preoccupied, and lacking the necessary spiritual depth that you and I need to live the life that Jesus called us to live. Right, and so if I can just kind of maybe put a stamp on this point because I think it's important. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said years ago. She said this. She said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Because why? Because if he can make you busy, he'll make you ineffective. Right? The second reason I believe that we don't practice silence and solitude is because we get uncomfortable. Like, I think in all of our busyness and the culture we live in, man, we've become addicted to noise. So when things get quiet, when something isn't happening, we start feeling uncomfortable. So instead of allowing our minds to be silent before the Lord and actually allowing ourselves to go where we need to go, we quickly try to fill that space with music, a television show, a podcast, a phone call, social media, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, not bad or sinful things, we just gotta have noise. Why? Because we're scared of silence, right? The third reason I think that we basically avoid silence and solitude is it's easier to hide. And what I mean by that is, you think back to Genesis 3, we know when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, we know what happens. It says in Genesis 3, verse 9, it says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. Yes, and I hid myself. See, here's what I mean by this. Over the years, I've learned that we not only try to hide from God, but we try to hide from ourselves. Y'all, please hear me on this. Like, because if things get quiet, I mean like truly quiet, we aren't sure what might come to the surface. Like, things get quiet and we start thinking about our past. We start thinking about our hurts, our pains, our disappointments, right? Our regrets, our sins, our fears, our insecurities. Anybody with me today? Right? And so we tell ourselves, man, it's easier to hide behind a patch of fig leaves of religious activity than it is to step into the light, bear before the Lord, willing to confront whatever he brings up. The last one is this, number four, okay? And truthfully, if you're going to pick one to hear, I want you to hear this one, okay? The reason we don't practice silence and solitude is because we're afraid we'll be found empty. See, years ago, Dallas Willard, he wrote these words. He said this. He says, silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of life. And in that quiet, in that silence, listen to these words. What if there turns out to be very little to just us and God? What's he saying? He is suggesting that there's a possibility when I remove all the songs that I sing, all the church people I hang out with, right? All the sermons I listen to, all the areas I serve in, when I'm just left with me and God, what if in that moment I discover there's not actually much to just me and God? Does that make sense? Think about to discover that there's a God that we've mastered talking about, singing about, reading about, learning about, that we may not actually know. Right? To find out that basically that we only know him through a lens of religious gathering and not from a personal experience. I believe that can be frightening. Like, it's kind of like this. Like, let me say it to you the way I want to. What if things get quiet and I don't know what to say or do? So I got to go hit that song to play to somehow spark it somewhere. Am I making sense? So it's like rather than facing that possibility of silence, man, it's like it's easier to avoid that and just keep doing the church stuff. But we ain't been called to do church stuff. We've been called to have a relationship with the King of Kings. Amen? Amen? All right, so that's my opinion. I'm sure there's more, but listen, I think those are some things that reasons of why we tend to shy away from practicing silence and solitude. Now, what I want to do for the rest of our time is I want to give you a handful of reasons of why I think we should, of why you and I should practice silence and solitude. So to begin, I want to actually turn the clock back to when I was a young Christian. Here's how I typically prayed as a young believer. I would literally walk into the room, whatever room it was, and I would turn the music up so loud. Basically, I would send it as loud as it would go without blowing the speakers, you know, when the speakers start to pop, you know, to kind of bring it down a little bit, right? And then so it was booming that loud, and then I would start to pray like God was deaf, right, for a couple of hours or until I wore myself slap out, right? So that's how I pray. I mean, I just scream, right? Right? Just scream to the Lord, like loads of passion. And I'm not saying I don't ever have those moments. I don't turn the music up quite so loud anymore. I'm getting old. But there's times there's still are passion. So I'm not knocking that. But here's why I bring it up. Like, it's the story I'm about to tell you is like kind of funny to me now. But I remember a certain time when I was 19 years old, I went to the youth room at the church I was interning at. And I turned that music up as loud as it would go. And I started praying exactly like I was talking about. And when I got done, I don't know, it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was. Man, I was just like, oh, I almost like slid down the wall because I was so exhausted from all my passionate hollering, right? And I literally, it's God moment. I was like sitting there like all awkward looking on the ground and trying to catch my breath. And I heard the Lord say in that moment, he said this, "Are you done yet?" In all my exuberance, I had completely missed the fact. Y'all, please listen. I had missed the fact that he wants to be heard too. Please apply that to your own life. You may not scream and holler and shout and all that, but I want you to know that the first reason that God wants you to practice silence and solitude is because he wants to be heard. See, John 10:27 tells us this. It's kind of the staple verse when it comes to hearing the voice of God. It says this, it says, "My sheep listen." Get that, my sheep, that's you and me, listen. Give him our full undivided attention. "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So listen, from that verse, we understand that not only are you and I wired for relationship, but guess what? So is God. Did you get that? God is wired for relationship. Why are we wired for relationship? Because we're created in his image, right? So because of this, we know that real prayer is a two-way conversation, which means this. Here's your little nugget, is that there's a time to speak and there's a time to listen. Now watch this, because God is so gracious and so loving and so kind, right? He'll speak in the midst of our busy, cluttered lives like he does all the time for all of us, right? But I've personally found that I hear him a whole lot better when I stop doing all the talking. You know, the truth is I have found, it's kind of unique because I used to be way more extroverted than I am today. Like, but the older I get, the less I talk in prayer. Hear what I just said. The older I get, the less I talk in prayer. And it's not that I don't think that what I have to say, you know, isn't important, because I think it is. I'm praying the word of God. I'm praying for people. I'm praying for, I know that's important. I've just come to the point where I'm like, you know what? What he has to say is probably more important than what I'm saying. And so I try to listen more than I used to, right? Now, if you're with me, say, oh, yeah? Come on. All right. Let me give you a little side note here. I just feel like I need to say this. It's kind of like a little side thing. Is I think so often in church world today, man, we build our lives and we live our lives around what God is speaking to other people and through other people and not us. In other words, we ask ourselves, what's the pastor saying? Oh, let me go look at YouTube. Let me go listen to that podcast. What's that prophetic voice saying? Let me go read this email. Let me go read that app mail. Or let me see what this person I admire, what they're saying, of what God is saying to them, what God is saying for the hour. Now listen, all those voices have their place. Like, God will use those voices. He does. So I'm not knocking that. But I want you to know today that God never meant for any of those voices to replace his voice. Right, like God wants to be the main voice in your life. And so if you got to go run to hear what somebody else is saying to kind of get an idea of what God's saying to you, that's not the order that God wants it in. If we live like that, we might as well be, basically we're no different than the Israelites when they told Moses to go up to the mountain, hear God for them, come back down and tell them what God was saying. Right, and I understand like that's not, that wasn't, the Bible even says that's not the way God wanted it. And so if you and I don't want a relationship where we got to have a Moses, right, then at some point we got to find our own mountain so we can go hear a still small voice for ourselves to say, God, what are you saying to me? Right? What are you saying to my family? And then we lead from there. Fellas, I hope you hear me on that. Like us as the priests of our homes, we need to hear God for our own families. Amen? The second reason God wants us to practice silence and solitude is because of this. Watch this. Novel thing. God wants to be God. Number two, God wants to be God. To this point, I like what Peter Craig said. He said this in his book, How to Pray. This is what he wrote. He said, one of the main differences between you and God is that God doesn't think he's you. Ouch. So I think there's a single verse that can kind of help you and I stay in our lane and not try to be God, okay? And it's this. It's a very well-known scripture. It's Psalms 46:10. Simply says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Know who I am, right? Now, what I find very interesting about this is the words be still come from the Latin word that you and I use for taking a vacation. Now, I heard one theologian say this, that we could read the scripture in this, that God speaking to us saying, why don't you take a vacation from being God and let me be God for a change? Be still. Stop trying to be me and know who I am, that I'm God. Y'all with me? See, I believe that in our silence and our solitude, what we communicate to God is this, surrender. When we get quiet before the Lord, I think it communicates to him that we're done competing with him, that we're choosing to step aside, that we're done trying to be in charge, and we go, God, you're obviously God, and I'm not. Right, like I have personally found lately in my own prayer life that something beautiful happens when I begin to take that posture. And it goes kind of like this. Like I'm finding that when I take that posture, he starts recentering my life, recentering my mind, recentering my heart. And here's kind of what's looked like lately. Like the other day, I was really having a pretty hard time kind of getting in, like getting going. And I just stopped and I just simply said this. Our Father, who art in heaven. And I paused, y'all, and I'm telling you, it was like you walked in the room. Before I started praying, anything I want to pray, I just paused so that I could remember our Father who art in heaven, so I could remember who he is, that he is in control. And what was so beautiful is there was this pause for a bit, and then out of my own heart, not out of just some repetition, came, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I paused again. The next thing, Holy Spirit, what's in your heart today? Put my agenda to the side. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to pray about? Who do you want me to pray for today? And then the rest of the time, what was once all caught up struggling came a natural flow for the rest of my time just being with Jesus. Am I making sense? Here's the third reason God wants us to practice silence and solitude. It's because God wants us to be refreshed. God wants us to be refreshed. Let me pause right here. What I'm about to say may be super weird to some of y'all. Just give me some grace here, okay? I don't think it's weird, and I'll explain to you why. But for the past 2 years, when I get quiet before the Lord, I've tried to pay attention to what's happening. And what I mean by that, what's happening, I mean by what I'm feeling in my body. Like, am I feeling stressed? Some of y'all know that. Am I feeling fear? Some of y'all in this room know what that's like too. Am I feeling anxiety? Am I feeling worry? Am I feeling depression? Am I feeling insecurities? Am I angry? Like, is there bitterness going on somewhere in my heart? Am I feeling rejection? Am I making sense? Is there confusion anywhere? Right? And so I know that sounds weird, but I've learned that often it's one of the main indicators of where I need God's presence and his word to minister to me in that day. The reason I say it's because so often what happens is we try to ignore what's going on inside of us, and we just run through our busy lives, and we wonder why we're never made whole. We wonder why we never get a victory, why we never get over something. Right? And the reason is because we never stop long enough to allow God to be God in that situation and minister to us. This is like relationship stuff. Right? Like we have to understand, let me say it like I need to say it. We need to stop acting like prayer is some wishing well moment. Like he's just some genie that I come and I'm not rubbing a lamp, but I'm saying some magic thing and he's got to do it. He's got to respond. And understand that there's something way deeper than a prayer list going on. There's a God who died to know you, right? And so if you can understand this for a moment, here's why this isn't weird to me, what I'm talking about. To me, it's so beautiful and it's so God. And here's why is, you know, scientists would tell us that basically when you and I are stressed that our adrenal glands, right, release a hormone called cortisol, right, which hinders or impairs our ability to think clearly, right, and to make healthy decisions. But watch this. But when we sit quietly, the cortisol subsides in our bodies and things become clearer. And watch this, our stress begins to dissipate. Like, we got to see Jesus in all this. Like, think about in light of that, Psalm 23. I got news for you. It's not just a funeral psalm, right? This wasn't about when people were dead. This is about when people are living, right? And it says this, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down to green pastures. Where does he lead me? Beside quiet, still waters. Like, I have a picture on my phone of David. David's in the back in his sit spot when we were out in Wyoming. He's sitting on a rock beside a stream, and that's where he's doing his sit spot. It's an incredible picture, right? And it's that idea that's like, man, God's leading him beside a quiet, still water. Why? Because he wants to refresh or restore his soul. And what does it say last? He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. What's my point, guys? Is that do we not think that God doesn't know how he fashioned our bodies, more specifically how he wired our brains and designed our brains to function? How can I say this? I think he understands how much we need silence and solitude, or he would never give us the Sabbath, right? Because it's in that stillness, it's in his, in basically in that stillness of his love, of his peace, of his joy, you know, that describes his presence, right? His presence comes and it begins to wash away all the emotional debris that you and I pick up by living in this world, right? Am I making sense? See, for me, what's happened, something's so different. The older I've got, I used to go to prayer, and, man, I had to hear his voice, had to get a revelation. And I love hearing his voice. I mean, there's nothing like hearing the voice of God. But the older I've gotten, the more important it's been to me that I just go to prayer, and I just feel his presence. Because what happens is when I get in his presence, our Father who art in heaven, is his presence come, and once again, it does the work. He does the work, right? I don't have to strive for it. I just got to be with him. Yes. Amen. The fourth reason God wants us to practice silence and solitude, kind of a weird point, but I'll explain it, is God wants to help us return. God wants to help us return. Years ago, Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite preachers ever, Leonard Ravenhill said this, made this powerful statement. He said, "A holy man cannot live in the closet, but he cannot live without it." A holy man cannot live in the closet, but he cannot live without it. What's he saying? He's saying, as important as silence and solitude are, man, we aren't called to live there. And to his point that when we look at the life of Jesus, when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see this constant ebb and flow where Jesus would retreat to a place of solitude so he could be with his Father, and then he would return to teach, preach, heal, and deliver. And then he would retreat to be with his Father. And he would come back out and he would teach, he would preach, he would heal and deliver. It was his rhythm of life. Like, have you ever wondered why we're not getting to see all the things that Jesus saw and the early church saw? I think it's because we haven't quite learned the rhythm. Right? Like, why are things happening? Literally, I've been asked this so many times, and I've asked even God myself, why when we go in other countries, am I walking around in other countries and they're like, that guy was dead and they prayed him back to life? That person had gangrene, they prayed for him and their leg went new. Like, that person was blind, they prayed for them and they can see. The reason is because all those people aren't staring at their phone every day. Right? I think it's like, I don't know, I wish I could remember the exact number. It's like you and I touch our phone, it's like well over 2,000 times a day. I think it's way more than that. I think I'm selling that way short. We live with screens in front of our face. They live with Jesus in front of their face. Right? That's why they see it, because they're practicing the rhythm. And what's so wild is they are some of the most uneducated people in the world, but they know him. Right? That doesn't get in the way. They have just raw faith, right? So I just want to say this, and we'll try to land this thing, is that if it was the rhythm of Jesus, then once again, wouldn't it make sense that it would become our rhythm too? See, I believe if you and I are going to be as spiritually effective as God wants us to be, then we need to be spiritually healthy and whole, right? And the only way that we become spiritually healthy and whole is we got to learn how to practice silence and solitude and let God speak where God needs to speak. Right? We need to let him heal. We need a habit and a rhythm of silence and solitude. Amen? All right, so here's what I want to encourage you to do. Let's get practical real quick. I want to encourage everybody in this room to begin your day or somewhere in your day to go find a sit spot. Now, your sit spot may not be, you know, on the side of a mountain in the Rocky Mountains. Your sit spot may be on your back porch. It may be in your favorite chair. It may be by your wood stove or your fireplace. It may be in your car at lunch. It may be, you know, Pastor Brian, for years, his sit spot was an excavator, right? It could be absolutely anywhere because God's everywhere, right? But the key is that you just find a sit spot somewhere to simply be with Jesus. Like, for a moment, set aside your fight that you got to wage war. Set aside your agenda. Set aside all the things you're asking for. And just go, you know what, Jesus, I want to be with you today. Right? If you have to, and I've done this week just because I'm like you. This thing runs. You know, I think what Thursday, I said, okay, I'm gonna set my timer for 30 minutes and see if I can sit in silence for 30 minutes. Y'all, that was kind of hard. Right? So if it's got to be 5 minutes, if it's got to be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, if you got to set your timer, that's fine. Just somewhere along the course of the week, I'm encouraging you to be still and know that he's God. And if there's anyone in the room that are like, man, I don't even know if this stuff's real, Go find out. Listen, he's big. He's not afraid of your questions. But there's a spot where you got to just go, you know what, I need to position myself to let God at least prove himself. Am I making sense? So here's what's been for me. So once again, set the timer, grab you a piece of paper. If you have to simply say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your mercy, our Father in heaven. Whatever it is, I don't care if you got to keep repeating it. Just keep your mind fixed on the Lord, and I encourage you to write down what he speaks to you. If it doesn't make any sense, write it down anyways. But the point is that somewhere in the process that you allow him, give him room to begin to speak to you. You allow him to be him, right? And you allow his presence to wash over you, and you allow him to make you whole so that you can be more effective and so you can reveal his glory. So going all the way back to the top, like I encourage you not to let the busyness of life, I'd encourage you not to let all the noise, you know, whatever, something you're afraid of, you know, any of that stuff to keep you from accepting his invitation, just come be with him, right? Like if there's ever a safe place, it's with him. And let me say this because I feel like I need to say it. If you're like, man, so scared of what's going to come up, remember a key verse. The Bible says, God delights in mercy. Why does he delight in mercy? Because he loves you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Can you stand to your feet? We're going to pray. Thank you all for listening today. Can y'all do me a favor? Can y'all lift your hands? Jesus, we love you. Father, we simply say that you're God and we're not. Lord, our hearts are to know you, to not get caught up in all the things of the world, but to genuinely walk with you. Father, we understand that when Jesus died, that veil was torn. That was an invitation to come be in your presence. And so, Lord, would you simply help us to take the invitation? Would you help us today to practice silence and solitude just so we can know you more? Father, however you got to minister to every one of us to help us get there, Lord, I just ask you to do it. And if anybody's in this room today that doesn't know you, Lord, I ask you to reveal who you are to them in a very clear way. God, help them to understand, God, that for without faith, it's impossible to really know who you are. God, that you're just simply, he is, that you are, that you exist. Lord, help them not get all caught up in all the complications of things. God, just help them simply feel your presence, to know your love, and to understand that you love them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week and God bless.